Welcome to The Real Deal Report, the next level of independent news.
This is Jim Fetzer in Madison with Dean Ryan in Austin and Mike Baer in Seattle. Have we got some news for you? Sensational stories today where you would think the shooting that interrupted the White House briefing would be the big story, but there's something even bigger to come. They arrested this 51-year-old suspect near the White House and had to remove the president. Here you see what took place at the time during his press conference.
And the Dow Jones are going to be, I mean, the way they're going, it looks like they're just about going to be topping records, hopefully soon. Excuse me?
What's going on, Mr. President?
The abrupt removal of the president, highly unusual, but what occurred after he returned is stunning. President Trump named the coup plotters during the press conference. Wait till you hear the question artfully presented. Get this, the real news from yesterday.
So I have an opinion question for you. Okay. Joe Biden is set to announce his running mate at any time now. We expect him to announce her. Many of your supporters feel that the reason that Obama's former NSA, Susan Rice, is at the top of Biden's list is that she can best cover up a lot of the Obamagate surveillance crimes that had taken place during your campaign. What are your thoughts? What is your opinion? Do you subscribe to that line of thought? How do you feel about it?
Well, look, the Obama campaign spied on our campaign, and they've been caught, all right? And now let's see what happens to them. But they have been caught. They've been caught red-handed. It's probably treason. It's a horrible thing they did. It probably never happened before. At least nobody got caught doing it. But they used the intelligence agencies of our country to spy on my campaign, and they have been caught. And there are a lot of people involved. I don't want to say how much she's involved. Frankly, if he chooses her, that's fine, but that's a potential liability. We'll see. But President Obama knew about it. Joe Biden knew about it. Comey knew about it. Brennan, Clapper, the whole group, they all knew about it. Lisa Page and her lover Strzok, they all knew about it. And we have it documented. We have it in texts. We have it in all sorts of forms. They knew about it. It was a terrible thing. Should have never happened and should never be allowed to happen again to a president. This should never happen again. This was a setup like we've never seen. I think it's the political crime of the century. And they've been caught. So let's see what happens to them all. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
How completely sensational. And we have two reports from fan mail. Absolutely spot on. Jimmy Young, Kamala Harris just unfollowed Joe Biden on Twitter after they met about her being his VP. He probably left a bad taste in her mouth. Galaxy Bean. Rumor is Kamala Harris has unfollowed Joe Biden after their meeting today. If she's out, Susan Rice is in. If Susan Rice is in, that means the pick is meant to block the Russiagate investigation from reaching all the way to the Obama Oval Office. Absolutely stunning stuff, exactly spot on. Dean, your thoughts?
Well, this falls right in line to everything we've talked about, and because September, the John Durham report is about to drop, and it's going to basically indict everybody that is anybody in the who's who of the DC Beltway. And Jim, what Trump said, they've known about for years. It's just now is the proper time to let the public know officially. And what he's talking about, treason, illegally spying, is called Operation Hammer. It's a operation that John Brennan and Obama sort of cooking woken up as early as 2010, which basically they spied on everybody and their mother, including diplomats, leaders of states, for enemies, foreign and domestic. The entire Tea Party was spied on, and then that's why he armed the IRS to go after the Tea Party. This is so cataclysmic; it makes the asteroids look like a little pebble coming at us right now, because this is the avalanche we've been waiting for since 2017. So I'm excited and more than ready for this to happen and go down.
Stunning stuff, Mike. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that Galaxy Bean 33 guy is pretty smart. I don't know who that is on Twitter, but everybody should follow him because he's really a smart guy. What he pointed out is that the key thing here, Susan Rice is the gatekeeper to the Russiagate investigation. Remember, before she left office, actually after Trump had been inaugurated, she sent a cover your ass, CYA, email to herself saying that whatever we did, we did it by the book and we should do it by the book and blah, 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 yada, 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 as a legal cover for the fact that they were spying on the Trump candidacy, the Trump campaign, and the Trump administration. So she is the one who can, in other words, if they can stop, if they can build a firewall around Susan Rice, they can stop the Russiagate investigation. That doesn't stop the DOJ, because the DOJ has rules that you cannot put out the results of an investigation or do indictments that might be perceived as affecting a political campaign in an election year. So this is what it tells you. If Susan Rice is the pick, then what you know is that Russiagate is real. They know they're in trouble, and they're trying to keep the investigation from going all the way, as Galaxy Bean 33 said, all the way to the Obama Oval Office, which is where this treason and sedition started, is in the Obama Oval Office. Everybody was involved in it. That doesn't mean, however, that you can't go after all the lower players. They're trying to take Russiagate off the table as an issue for 2020, which is even a better reason for the DOJ and Durham and Barr to indict people today, not tomorrow, today. Go out and start indicting these people, including Susan Rice. Let's indict them. We know what they're guilty of. Let's go after them now and preempt their preemptive strike.
The question was so perfectly phrased. It was excellent. This is stunning news, a major development. They're going to go all out. Here's a further indication of their strategy. Hashtag White House siege. This group plans to lay siege to and occupy the White House next month. This is bizarre in the extreme. A group that takes credit for the Occupy Wall Street movement of 2011 has a new and even more outrageous plan in mind. They intend to occupy the White House. It's been 9 years since we set off the political earthquake of hashtag Occupy Wall Street, laying siege to New York City's Zuccotti Park and inspiring thousands of similar protests around the world. The Occupy anniversary arrives September 17, 2020, and it may be the perfect day to trigger another global Big Bang movement, a massive collective action of the sweetest kind of disobedience. It's time again for dramatic, decisive action, which is why on September 17th, in the original enduring spirit of Occupy, we and tens of thousands of our fellow citizens will stream into Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. We will lay siege to the White House. We will sustain it for exactly 50 days. This is the hashtag White House siege. Once again, let us summon the sweet revolutionary nonviolence that was our calling card in Zuccotti Park. An event with a hashtag White House siege is unlikely to go smoothly and nonviolently. This, of course, will result in even more violence, more widespread outrage. Twitter is divided, unsurprisingly, on the question of the wisdom of such a move. Are you ready for hashtag revolution? The White House siege. The Secret Service, however, does not tolerate protests in front of the White House. They're not the Portland police. They're not as kind as DHS. Anyone planning a hashtag White House siege will be shot dead as soon as they cross the barricades. Serious stuff. Dean, your thoughts?
Well, this makes sense to exactly, Jim, what Occupy Wall Street was all about. And if you recall 2011, which was a big year, and I invite people to look back at the Obama years, in particular 2011, 2013, the Occupy Wall Street was the beginning of the display of the police brutality in the United States, which caused the outcry, because at that point they were already militarized, federalized on that route, number one. Number two, it was also the debut of the entrance of the communists. The communists were filled and just all over all the Occupy Wall Streets, all the Occupy, you know, downtown. Now that was almost like the beta test, in a sense, of what we're about to experience with these Marxists. So this is going to be very interesting to see, as they think they're just going to camp out and have a tailgate party in front of the White House. I think they're going to be highly regretful and mistaken.
Yeah, I think this is a colossal blunder. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, send in the scoops. You know, let's go back to Soylent Green. Let's send in the big trucks. Let's scoop them up and grind them into meat and turn them into those impossible whoppers that everybody seems to love so much in California. You know, I have no use for these people. They're just leftist protesters. If I were the president, what I would say is, you can come here and you can have your protest. If you cross the gates, you'll be shot dead. If you throw anything over the gates, you'll be shot dead. By all means, come have your protest. I'll come out, say hi to you from the White House balcony. And then tomorrow you will disperse. And if you don't disperse, we will disperse you. And they need to get big federal prisons ready. They need to get FEMA camps open. And they need to go in there and just arrest every single one of these people and wipe it out on day two. Let them have their day. Let them have their peaceful protest. The second it's not peaceful, run them all up, round them all up, put them away. That's what we got to do. And it'll be the end of that.
What I love about it is it reinforces the contrast between the rioters and the Democrats and Antifa and the law and order president. For those who plan to take part in hashtag White House siege, I hope they understand this isn't going to be a thing where they can stand around with their comrades and throw the occasional chunk of concrete. Washington, D.C. is not like Seattle. It's not like Portland. If they think they're going to be part of something bigger and just defiantly sleep in a tent in front of the White House, I believe they may be in for an unpleasant shock. Any action taken against the White House will be met with a serious response, just as Mike has been emphasizing. Meanwhile, Marxist group planning a political coup in November in preparation for forcibly removing a victorious President Trump from office. This is from Natural News, where Mike Adams is going to be our guest again on Friday. We look forward to it. The Russian collusion hoax was the most blatant attempt to remove a duly elected president from office in the history of our country. Now a new effort is underfoot to launch a second coup attempt against Trump, because why not, since no one was prosecuted for the first? A supposed bipartisan group called the Transition Integrity Project, which claims to be interested in ensuring the 2020 election is fair and accurate, is really just a front for deep state operatives who plan on the opposite. The National Pulse has laid it out. The Transition Integrity Project, TIP, appears to be another establishment-sanctioned offensive to nullify the Trump presidency, akin to the impeachment and the Russian collusion hoax. Now, however, TIP's paramount concern is President Trump's refusal to relinquish the presidency should Democratic candidate Joe Biden win, given the potential for a botched election resulting from mail-in ballots and coronavirus. Breathless media coverage of TIP in the last few days was hailed as the group's bipartisanship, but a National Pulse investigation has found the group is anything but. In reality, it's another globalist front comprised of Soros staffers linked to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, appears to exist for the express purpose of backing Biden's claims to the White House in the event of a disputed election in November. Get this. The Biden campaign has already hired or retained 600 lawyers, which officials claim are on board to prevent Trump from stealing the election, but who are in reality planning on stealing it for Biden. The left-wing Marxist media is playing its role too. Outlets like the Washington Post are running stories saying the same thing, that Biden is so far out in front now, there's no way he can lose, but for Trump stealing the result. In a garbage propaganda piece under the headline, "What if Trump loses but insists he won?" the Post published a piece clearly written by a deep state psyops operative. On his present trajectory, Trump is aiming for a whopping defeat in November. The Economist says there's nearly a 99% chance Biden will win more popular votes and a 90% chance he'll win more electoral. But what if Trump won't concede defeat? That is a nightmare scenario for our democracy. Could make the 2000 showdown over Florida's hanging chad seem like a grade school dispute by comparison. Dean, this appears to be what they have in the works. Your thoughts?
It's the typical play. It's the, as Nancy Pelosi called it, the wrap-up smear, meaning if you have enough publications that they control through all the compromised leverage they have over the Washington Post, if you just put that narrative out there, you say it enough times, that becomes the new normal, which they love to use that phrase, and people begin to believe it. So this is what they did in the 2016 election, if you recall. They said, Hillary kept saying, will Donald Trump accept the election results? Well, he did, and Hillary Clinton went to go hide in her little adrenochrome basement in Arkansas or wherever she goes. So these people are just full of, as Joe Biden would call, malarkey. And, you know, this is what they should do. If we want to stop the BLM from having a tailgate party in front of the White House, you have to declare them a terrorist organization like Antifa. The only problem is, or one of the many problems, rather, is look who they're tied to, Jim. Pepsi, YMCA, Airbnb, Cisco, Dropbox, Coca-Cola, et cetera, et cetera. All these American companies are tied to the terrorist organizations trying to kill us. So why can't we stop these people? Because we have to take down the system. We have to do the American reset because it is so wide and vast, the level of corruption in the United States, which affects the entire world. And I am just tired of Pepsi and I hate Airbnb and I definitely hate Dropbox, as you guys know on this show.
Well, the blatant hypocrisy here is mind-boggling, Mike. I mean, the Democrats have spent 3 years not accepting the outcome of the 2000 election. This is ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter to them, because what happens, Jim, is the mainstream media press covers for them, right? They'll never go on about how hypocritical it is to say what they're saying and do what they're doing. They'll never do those comparisons. So the thing I don't get, the thing I continue to be flummoxed by is that we clearly know, the president clearly knows who the guilty parties are. Barr knows who the guilty parties are. And again, you know, why leave all this stuff to chance? It's very obvious that Donald Trump is winning, that he's going to win, that he's going to win big. And they need to just start putting that narrative out there and pushing back on this. Yet I didn't really see anything from the White House about this. So, you know, again, I continue to be, I do not understand why these people are walking free. I mean, every time you start reading a quote from Nancy Pelosi, all I can think back to is the State of the Union address where she was going to poison him with the poison on her hand. That was at the handshake that he refused to give her, all the conversations among Democrats and Republicans who knew the president was scheduled to be assassinated that night, the three other assassination attempts I know about. Why are these people still walking free? And again, I fail to understand what the strategy is here. Simply arrest them for treason and attempted murder and put them in chains and end this whole charade. Why are we even in this ridiculous charade that this is going to be some sort of free and fair election? It's gonna be a clusterfuck of epic proportions, and it could all be put to rest right now if they would simply arrest people and start telling the American people what they know about them. But they won't do that. And why? Why, Q? Why?
Well, Mike, you make great points, but I suspect Trump has reasons for his timing. I mean, look at his genius in outmaneuvering Pelosi and Schumer. He took all of the leverage away from Pelosi, where they've been having the governors continue their lockdowns in order to give her the ability to move for more, but Trump pulled it right out from under her feet. It was brilliant. It looks like the Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, have bowed down to the wishes of the Trump administration and the Republicans. Trump signed the executive actions we have reported to provide coronavirus relief, regardless of what the Democrats were doing, and has forced them to back down. Meanwhile, the Seattle City Council has approved a complex package to cut the police budget. The 7-1 vote to cut the Seattle police funding fell short of the 50% cut that many were seeking. They're going to cut as many as 100 officers through layoffs and attritions, an action supported by the demonstrators. They currently have about 1,400 police officers. The measures considered Monday would cut about $3 million from the department's $400 million annual budget, far below the 50% funding that many protesters were seeking. Meanwhile, Carmen Best, who's been the Seattle police chief and a very fine person, the first Black female police chief, has resigned after the city council voted to cut the budget without even bothering to consult her. She has been a voice of reason throughout. Meanwhile, hundreds attend a pro-Trump rally in Beverly Hills and urge Californians to ditch the Democratic Party, devoutly to be wished. We are a movement of people who are walking away from the Democratic Party. We're walking away from the ideology of liberalism, the liberal media, basically. We want to live in a country with peace and civility, truthfulness, kindness. And again, we're not getting that from the political left. So we're walking away from the Democrats. Dean, that just sounds like a plan.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to do something, right? I mean, if identity politics is the you know, the reason for the season, who's really going to want to identify with any of these little Marxist bastards? Certainly not me, for one, but I was never part of that group. But a lot of people are, and a lot of people in LA, in Beverly Hills, have woken up to this, and we should encourage them to say, hey, get away from these people. Don't, you know, we're not necessarily saying, you know, sign up to our Make America Great Again VIP club, but look at these heathens that are trying to behead us. So that's interesting about Beverly Hills. And I would also add earlier on in the pandemic that the Burbank gun stores had lines outside of them so long, you thought they were like giving away free turkeys for Thanksgiving. And then finally, you know, the Seattle police chief, I would ask Jim, and maybe even Mike knows, do these police chief, do they sign NDAs where they can't really talk about what the hell's going on in the inside? Because this is so suspect. You know, maybe she's falling on the sword and just playing victim and is behind the whole plot. You know, I don't know. Just like the grandma from yesterday, you know, was she posing with the terrorist? Who knows? But Seattle, I don't know what's going to happen. And it's just really sad because it's not about it's always about what we're getting rid of for these people, but they never tell you what they're going to replace it with and that we're going towards. It's frightening.
Mike, your thoughts?
Well, that's because what they're going to replace it with is anarchy, chaos, rape, murder, theft, looting, rioting. That's what they're going to replace it with. So if you don't have cops, that's what you're going to get. Now, I would like to give the police chief some credit, but I just can't. She stood by on her hands. When the police precinct was assaulted and the mayor told her to stand down, she should have told the mayor to go chase a rolling donut, sent her guys in there, taken back that block, and run all those criminals out of there. You know, so what if she ended up getting fired over it? She's in the same place now, 2 months, 3 months later. So again, her inaction is part of the problem. And what you have is you have all these leftists in positions of governor, mayor, police chief, prosecutor. So of course, they want to do anything they can to destroy civilization, to destroy Western civilization. Look, until you face the reality that Democrats and liberals and progressives are about nothing except the destruction of everything that you hold dear, your family, your economy, your job, Western civilization itself, the rule of law, until you face the reality that they want to destroy that, you're never going to be able to come to grips with what they're doing. You just need to wake up and face the fact that as much as you think you hate it, you're going to have to vote Republican. And that's not even going to be guaranteed it's going to be good, but it's got to be better than the Democrats. If you vote for any Democrat all the way down to dog catcher, you are literally committing political, ideological, and potentially biological suicide. It's basically just suicide. You're nuts if you vote for any Democrat at any level for any office.
In this election, you're not voting Republican. You're voting for the United States of America and its future, for the Constitution, for law and order. Look at the contrast here. 35 shot, 4 fatally over the weekend in Mayor Lightfoot, Chicago. 2 fatalities Saturday, 31-year-old man killed Sunday. The 4th fatality occurred Monday morning. Breitbart reported 34 people shot, 9 fatally last weekend. 59 were shot, 3 fatally the weekend before that. Magnificent Mile riots, looting, and hit Democrat-run Chicago. They've completely lost control of their cities. The looting and rioting started just after midnight, lasted nearly 5 hours. Chicago top cop: we're coming for looters. Over 100 arrests already. Well, it's about time. Meanwhile, in de Blasio's New York City, shootings in New York are on track to surpass 2018 and 2019 combined. It's really outrageous, stunning. The choice could not be more clear. Dean, your thoughts?
Yeah, Mayor Stankfoot is a total disgrace to the human being race. she's disgusting, or he, whatever that is. And then Chicago, you know, I thought it was about being progressive, being uber liberal, being the Obama era, the post-Obama era, and there's looting. So if they don't want the cops anymore, which fine, if you don't want cops, then what are you replacing them with to just loot everybody? So then they don't want business, clearly. So they don't want anything that is a viable nature that's going to give Donald Trump any credence or give the Anglo-Saxon any credence. So I guess we'll just go back to the medieval days of just, just King Arthur's court or King Stankfoot in this case. And I'm just so tired of these people. Fine. You know, they can have Chicago. I never liked it anyways. And that's all I have to say about that.
Mike, your thoughts?
Well, you know, again, Chicago is a complete disaster area purely because of Democrats. It's going to stay that way. Nothing's going to change until the leadership changes. I don't have much comment about this other than it happens all the time, virtually every night. And, you know, again, this is what happens when you vote for Democrats, folks. This is the future. If this is what you want, great. But it's time to basically let's move the bears out of Chicago. Let's just kind of wall the whole city off and just forget about it.
The cities are rapidly turning into ghettos under the Democrats. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Real Deal Report. Please visit our website at realdealmedia.com.
This is Jim Fetzer in Madison with Dean Ryan in Austin and Mike Baer in Seattle with sensational news today on Real Deal Reports. It's fascinating in retrospect to go back to Joe Biden's declaration because you will see here the themes of his campaign involving racial division were being laid in place from the beginning. Watch this.
How will Biden change the 2020 race? CNN's Arlette Sines is live in Biden's hometown of Wilmington, Delaware with the breaking details. Arlette.
Hey, Allison, Joe Biden just released that video announcing his 2020 bid on his social media accounts. He is framing his campaign as a battle for the soul of a country, a message that he's really carried over the past year. Take a listen and a look at what he had to say as he officially announced his candidacy for president.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We've heard it so often, it's almost a cliche, but it's who we are. We haven't always lived up to these ideals. Jefferson himself didn't, but we have never before walked away from them. Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years. It was there on August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out in the open. Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging, and bearing the fangs of racism, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile heard across Europe in the 30s. And they were met by a courageous group of Americans, and a violent clash ensued. And a brave young woman lost her life. And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it. And in that moment, I knew the threat to this nation was unlike any I had ever seen in my lifetime. I wrote at the time that we're in the battle for the soul of this nation. Well, that's even more true today. We are in the battle for the soul of this nation.
Except it was all bullshit. The whole thing was contrived. The governor, Terry McAuliffe, was deeply involved. The mayor had the Charlottesville police stand down so that the governor could use the state police to herd the peaceful protesters who had a permit into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. The car crash that was alleged to have killed Heather Heyer was equally contrived. You had two different cars one with both Dodge Challengers, one with a racing stripe, one without, one with a sunroof, one without. You had two different drivers. You had the 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic with heavy prescription glasses who was held responsible, but the driver was a 32-year-old Army combat veteran who commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio. They had three different takes, two at least, one where he crashed into two vans that had been parked there for about 5 minutes. Notice no drivers in the van so they wouldn't suffer whiplash from the collision. Here you can see another take on the left because no vehicles, no vans, nothing around. Notice in particular, no black Toyota pickup truck. So even the New York Times was running a Photoshop image with stunt actors in the air, flying through the air to make it look as though something extraordinary had taken place. It's really remarkable. This was totally phony and contrived, clearly to build up this political theme that the Democrats are now seeking to exploit. Dean, your thoughts?
Well, that could also have been the debut of that wonderful actor named George Floyd, who then later took that debut to make the Minneapolis scene. You know, what's very interesting about Charlottesville, and I want to get to Joe Biden real quick too as well, is Charlottesville was put together by the Unite the Right. I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he was also a Hillary Clinton operative, the Unite the Right, the alt-right guy. And he was also seen giving speeches throughout, oddly enough, Occupy Wall Street as a pro-Democrat Party guy. Then you have Richard Spencer, who's another shill who is then, you know, uniting the right. No, he's demonizing anyone right of Mao Zedong, because that's what these people are. Now, let me continue into what Joe Biden's doing, Jim. We're now seeing a narrative build in places like Politico.com of saying Biden better pick a black woman. Then you hear Kamala Harris is unfollowing Joe Biden on Twitter. And then Joe Biden purposely let his notes get seen that he was considering her because they were beta testing what the public would see and accept when a black woman VP is picked, or in this case, conditioning a black VP, which is now we're going to see it's going to be Michelle Obama. And that's what they're going to do to pull off the Operation Martyr.
Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't have much to say about Charlottesville, except the whole thing was fake. The guy's social media, he was a progressive Democrat his entire life, and then suddenly a month before Charlottesville, he becomes a Trump rah-rah guy, if you can believe what Facebook did to his social media. Again, there's all these issues with what really actually happened. It doesn't seem to fit. And again, once again, everything that they say about what Trump said was a lie. What Trump said specifically, obviously, was there are some very fine people, and I'm not talking about the white supremacists here, but there were some very fine people on both sides. That's what he actually said. That's the lie. That's what they never tell you. And it just makes me vomit wanting to watch this sick, demented, senile old man spew off about anything. The guy's a racist piece of shit, and I just can't wait for him to be off the political stage.
Well, there was even more deception involved here. Even the NTSB claimed there'd been a helicopter crash where two Virginia State Troopers were killed that afternoon, except we have video footage of them walking away from the crash arm in arm. It's completely stunning what was going on here, meaning totally fraudulent.
These guys. This one kind of looks like this one being this one like the chubbier one, but not exactly.
Remember, they are the same guys. There's just no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Not only that, but the Heather Heyer was supposed to have killed, actually died the following day of a heart attack. And would you believe the mother of the alleged victim, Heather Heyer, Susan Bro, haven't we seen her before? Yes, at Sandy Hook, you let the images overlap as the same person. So Susan Bro, the mother of Heather Heyer, and Donna Soto, the mother of Victoria Soto of Sandy Hook, is one and the same crisis actor. Mike, if you want to know what happened, it's all laid out here. Political theater in Charlottesville, faux terrorism in three acts produced by leftist zealots. We know what happened. We know exactly what happened. It was a DNC effort to transform Trump from an America First guy that appealed to all Americans into an American nationalist, into a white supremacist, into a neo-Nazi. That's what it's all about, and they're continuing that theme to that day. Dean, your thoughts?
You know, I do recall Charlottesville, actually, you and I covered it, Jim, 3 years ago on my old show. And I do recall, and I can't think of it at the moment, but they switched the drivers. So when the car backed up, the driver of that car got out of the car, and they already had their patsy in handcuffs, if you remember, sitting on the ground, ready to be, arrested. But this goes in the narrative that we're trying to build in 2017, which was just a terrible year, to paint Donald Trump as a racist. Now, when he said there were fine people on both sides, there were people that wanted the statues gone and people that didn't. And then there were Oath Keeper militia type that were trying to keep the peace. So there was, you know, legitimate people there. Now, what was not legitimate as was the KKK people that we saw, Jim, get off the same bus as the BLM people, multiple buses at the same time. So they were all having croissant sandwiches like that fat old woman in Target in Minneapolis with her oppressors and the violent people. So totally fraudulent, totally fake, totally annoying. And the fact that, that Joe Biden has to bring it up just shows how senile he is, how pathetic he is, and what a real loser him, his family, his whole parent, all his, everyone is. They're all a bunch of losers, and I hate their guts.
You're right, Dean. George Soros was busing in Black Lives Matter and Antifa members on the same buses. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think the compelling thing about that last segment is the mother at Sandy Hook, I guess it was, and she's also a mother at Charlottesville. So she's obviously, it's the same woman. It's obviously an acting job. It's obviously bull. So, I mean, I really don't have much to say about it, except, again, that's just a complete joke. And it just shows you how little truth there actually is in the media, not just in the media, but in official government statements and documents and things like that, where the matrix just needs to be torn apart. You know, Neo, we can't fix the matrix. We just need to get rid of it.
It's another illustration of how far the Democrats have to go to fabricate a case against Donald Trump. Meanwhile, he'd better pick a black woman. Biden faces Whitmer backlash. Anticipation growing. He'll make history by choosing the first black woman as a running mate. After the news broke that Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer had flown to meet Biden, frustration and disappointment boiled over among black female Democrats, including some in her own state. He better pick a black woman. If he picks Gretchen, he'll lose Michigan, they said, for example. There are a lot of black people mad at her, Whitmer, in this state. As Biden prepares to announce his choice, black women activists and operative have launched an 11-hour campaign to pressure him. Meanwhile, the other reason the Democrats want Biden to shun debates, not only that he's cognitively impaired, also the second obvious reason, he's a fraud. The former vice president was nominated running as a centrist, but he's no such thing. He's talking about transforming the nation, ending the era of shareholder capitalism. He has quietly signed onto the far left policies of those like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. He's adopted increasingly extreme positions on taxes, the environment, and labor rights, banning right-to-work laws, for example, that please progressives but move him away from moderate African-American voters who helped him secure the nomination. As a columnist for the Washington Post recently noted, Biden is getting more progressive in substance, yet he's done nothing to change his image as a moderate. That suits the Biden team just fine. Trump would press him. He'd be nailed down. It would expose his hypocrisy, undoing months of skittering along the surface like a water bug. Dean, your thoughts?
Well, last night I investigated and researched Michelle Obama's Twitter, which it was very hard for me to do, but I did it for our lovely audience. And Jim, she has 16 million followers compared to, I believe, Kamala Harris, that was 4 million. Compared to Susan Rice, who even knows her besides us three. So they are paving the way for this monumental debut of Michelle Obama that I think they're going to do at the DNC, whatever they do it on Zoom or online. But here is something very key. As I combed through her Twitter, she was already building the narrative of the following. Women's rights. We need more women. We need black women leadership. They were totally ignoring any riots or any peaceful protests because that's sinking and tanking their numbers. They're not talking about anything else except for women's rights and black women leaders as leadership roles. She's building the narrative. Obama's going to speak at the DNC convention online, and that's who's going to be the VP pick, and that's who's going to be the presidential pick when people are so disgusted with Joe Biden already. He's going to leave and go to the glue factory where they're going to take him to put him out of his misery and ours too.
Nice points, Dean. The black women leaders we're familiar with, like Kim Fox in Chicago and the attorney in St. Louis and elsewhere, have been utter failures. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, Jim, it's not going to work. I mean, you know, they can do this all they want. Trump's black support, according to Rasmussen, is 39% again in a poll this week. Trump gets anywhere near that number of votes, for, this is among likely voters, he's going to win 40 states. It's not going to work. I don't care what they do. I think at some point, what we're beginning to see, in my opinion, is them abandoning the idea of winning the election and instead moving towards the idea of overthrowing the government. That's what they're working on. So again, that's why I actually think, I don't know, maybe I'll have a little bet with Dean. I think it's going to be Susan Rice, not Michelle Obama, but either way is bad for America and good for Trump. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. I think you're correct in your diagnosis. They know they can't possibly win. Meanwhile, is Antifa the greatest movement against free speech in America? Rather fascinating. While the author opposes designating Antifa a terrorist organization, its existence is certainly no myth. It may be the most successful movement against free speech in modern history. However, its structure and tactics avoid easy detection, which is why so many people claim the group is an apparition. It's true, whenever such spontaneity and concentrated violence erupts, many people tend to believe it is Antifa. They're making a big move on university campuses. Both far right and far left groups have been identified in riots. They're using the social media. Antifa members have been arrested and involved in violence in the cities. Antifa is actually, in this author's view, not an ally to Black Lives Matter. It's about revolutionary change, using demonstration to trigger greater social unrest, following the same purpose mistakenly spoken by former Chicago Mayor Richard Daley following the riots during the Democratic Convention in 1968. The police are not here to create disorder. They are here to preserve disorder. Antifa causes such violence. They found allies while the movement has grown. It primarily targets conservatives and the free speech community. A former Democratic National Committee Deputy Chair Keith Ellison, now the Minnesota Attorney General, once said Antifa would strike fear in the heart of Trump. This was after Antifa had been involved in numerous acts of violence and its website was even banned in Germany. His own son, Minneapolis City Council member Jeremiah Ellison, declared his allegiance to Antifa in the heart of protests this summer. Meanwhile, just a reflection here of major hoaxes of the modern world. We have the moon landing hoax, the 9/11 atrocities, and coronavirus. Nice point. Dean, your thoughts?
My favorite is the virus came from a bat hoax. That's probably my all-time favorite of all time. And, you know, Jim, it's just, we're at a point now where nothing shocks us anymore. The moon's made of cheese. The towers were came down by Wile E. Coyote. The virus came from, you know, Bill Gates, you know, anus. Who knows at this point? It's just all, it's all behind us. We're ready to go to the new enlightenment, to the new age of renaissance. People are ready to create and create a new future. And we have to just, when we're talking about draining the swamp, we're talking about draining all these corporations that have been draining us of our life and our reality and dictating what we should and shouldn't say, who we should vote for, and what is racist and what is not racist. So screw them, hell with them. I'm ready for the new age of renaissance. I'm feeling good this week. I'm feeling positive, even though I have spurts of anger that I can't control. I am excited for the future, and it's such an easy win. We just have to maintain the ship just a little longer and try not drowning and try not to get eaten all, by all the sharks that are eating people in Malibu.
Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go with Antifa. To me, it should just be declared officially a terrorist organization. Trump has talked about doing that. To my knowledge, he has not actually done it. Declare it a terrorist organization, round up all the leaders, call them terrorists, put them in Gitmo, let them rot there for 10 or 20 years. End of story, end of problem. As to the moon landing, yeah, we landed on the moon, Jim. Times I can prove it over and over again.
Yeah,
we're gonna have that argument at some point. And 9/11, yeah, well, we'll have to talk about that one too. But you know, let's talk about some fun stuff, like putting Antifa in jail. Let's do that.
You're absolutely spot on about Antifa, Mike. I couldn't agree more. Meanwhile, fan mail, the rocker man, do not leave us hanging. The real deal report is just that important. Christine Sedman, tiny dancer, nipple clamps hitting you in the shoulder blades. That's my president. Do I look rattled? Chris Stacy, I love the Real Deal report. I look forward to it. You guys need a daily report. Such amazing content. Love you guys. Daniel Scott, been posting since Trump won that Michelle Obama is a very dangerous person politically. Who says the Antichrist has to be male? Well, Michelle Obama actually is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. So if Michelle Obama is the Antichrist, he is male. Chris Stacy, Mike Barra, I love your back screen. Beyond Cools, do you see the Tesla car while out in space? Dodi Adore, VP is Rice. Biden steps out, checks out. Hillary moves in as president. Darn. Barra is right. 600 was a number. It would have looked good for tea, been reduced in the later bill. To Win Daddy, you guys need to make this a more family-friendly. Mike's sick jokes and cursing. Wow. I have to make my kids leave the room. Other than that, I like your reporting. Big Sexy, better graphics for sure. You guys are fire, always. Just eight. You guys never disappoint. And remember that speaking for myself and probably both others who follow you, the topics and viewpoints that you address on The Real Deal, we talk about with our friends, families, and colleagues the next day. Best yet, you cover it all with well-thought-out positions and whip. Kumswala Harris, for example. Dean, your thoughts.
Well, that was quite the contrast of emails there from our fans. And, you know, I do agree. I get a little passionate. I get a little taken out of context. I need to control my... It's important that kids can watch this show, can learn something, because what they're learning in the schools is completely communist, wretched, rancid, disgusting, and totally ew, as the kids would say. And I'm sure I, as a person who can only be an individual and control myself, could probably do a better job. But you know, these are times of great peril and great challenge, and we do the best we can. And but I know I do want to welcome kids to watch this, learn from it, because if kids watch this, Jim, we could save the future, and they can tell their friends and their friends and their friends, and we could do a better job than any elementary or high school teacher could ever dream of doing, because they're all communists with ponytails.
Mike, your thoughts? Mike, your thoughts?
When I'm able to post to my YouTube channel, which I'm not going to be able to do for a few more weeks, there's a little box that I click that says, this video is not made for children. So it definitely is the case. Now, as we move Real Deal Media forward, we're going to have the, R-rated version of the Real Deal Report there, a nice little 10-minute, 15-minute, packaged G-rated YouTube version for everybody who wants to watch that. But that's the way we are. That's the way we do it. That's the way it has to be. So thanks for watching either way. And sorry that you have to explain to your kids what I meant, but that's the way it goes.
Let me just say, among my final thoughts, we're going to have a great debate between Mike Baer and me, one on the moon landing, did we go or not, another on 9/11, who is responsible and why, where Dean Ryan can be the moderator. We'll set it up. Meanwhile, all of you, I'm so grateful, who contributed to my legal defense fund. You might be interested to know that Ron Avery, he's created a website with all the documents from my lawsuit, is going to be my guest on the FETS Presents tonight, discussing Sandy Hook, abuse of process and censorship galore. That's from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. You might want to catch it. Meanwhile, you can learn more of our stuff from my blog, JamesFetzer.org, on Twitter, at Jim Fetzer. Mike Baer Official, temporarily out of commission. Dean Ryan TV. Real Deal Media, up and about. We're going to have more for you. Dean, your final thoughts.
Some quick notes about realdealmedia.com. We are just in the last beta testing phase of getting our online store prepared for the public. I don't want to say it's ready yet, because it's not. And we want to make sure it's ready to go for everyone that loves this show. And, you know, we're going to have our Fetzer cups, our T-shirts, everything, magnets, and all that great stuff. And also, I think I'll pose a poll on my YouTube channel at Dean Ryan TV. So Mike's picking Susan Rice as the VP pick, and I'm picking Michelle Obama. And we'll do a poll and we'll see who wins. And then Mike and I, maybe we can come up with some kind of bet or agreement or something off air, something cool and fun for the fans. And then the moon landing debate, I would suggest to our fans, if you come November to the JFK conference here in Austin, provided Austin's still a city in November, then I think that would be an appropriate time that everyone can watch the great debate of the moon landing. And I've never really given an opinion on it, other than I think the film is questionable. Maybe it was staged, the film is, because as a film student, the way they filmed and the cameras back then were just so primitive. So you almost needed a backup of some sorts of, you know, that was kind of my understanding of it. But other than that, I do believe the moon is made of cheese from France. And that would be brie cheese, that is.
Mike, your final thoughts.
Well, I'm looking towards putting up another YouTube channel. I got to get a burner phone and a fake email address and look for Mike Barrett too, maybe by the weekend. I think I'm going to put up a second YouTube channel. Hopefully I can avoid all the conflicts where I can continue to post stuff. But again, to anybody who's a subscriber out there right now, go to Dean Ryan TV for the Real Deal Report. And again, to the other guy that talked about the Real Deal Report, he said, you guys should do a daily report. Well, we try. We do 5 days a week and then we do specials on the weekend, unless there's breaking news, and we do live streams. Me and Dean have been doing live streams. So we try to give you as much content, and there's more to come, so stay tuned.
Now, while the Question Everything 2020 conference in Austin on the 7th and 8th of November is not specifically or exclusively JFK, I do have the best JFK experts in the world there. David W. Manick, MD, PhD, who's a leading expert on the medical evidence, Larry Rivera, who's done cutting-edge research on the latest documents and records proven Lee Oswald was actually standing in the book depository steps during the motorcade passing by, another issue that Mike and I can debate at length, and a whole host of other issues, including the coronavirus, including Sandy Hook, including the Boston bombing, including targeted individuals, including the godfathers of sex abuse, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Jeffrey Epstein, how the hate crimes were faked. It's something for everyone. You want to check it out. You can find it at Mix, M-I-X, capital N, stream, STREAM.com. There's also a pay-per-view option. And if you want some background for the great debate that Mike and I are inevitably going to have, go to JimTheConspiracyGuy.com and check out my show on the moon landing hoax, How We Know We Didn't Go. And you'll see how Mike has a tough row to hoe here, but I look forward to it, and I do not underestimate him at all. Jim Fetzer from Madison, thanking Dean Ryan in Austin, Mike Baer in Seattle for the excellence of the reporting, and for all of you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with more shattering developments from the front. Thank you all for watching.
You've been listening to The Real Deal Report. Come see more at our website, realdealmedia.com.